It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
Socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, and water. What it means is that government controls it through rules and regulations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
Under this guise of bipartisanship and nonpartisanship, it's actually tapped down the truth.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
On an equal field in the battle of ideas, mistruths or misconceptions, and it is getting us into a world of hurt.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation. Welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Podcast of the show can be found there, as well as our op-eds. We have this new podcast, Sounding Off with Kim Munson, as well as our headlines for hope. So just check all that out there. Go over to Facebook and give us a like. We'd greatly appreciate it. We've got a great show planned for you today. In this first segment, Mark Griffith, another KLZ host, he's on at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, is going to give us an update on what happened down at Castle Rock. There's a great little restaurant that opened up yesterday for Mother's Day. Reggie Carr with I'm a Trumpster is back in Washington, D.C., and he's going to give us an update on what's happening there. John Buckingham, Presidential Wealth Management. Jason's taking the week off, and so going to have a conversation with John Buckingham and a little conversation about Elon Musk, so that'll be interesting. And then Rob Nadelson will be in the third and fourth segment. He's a senior fellow in constitutional jurisprudence at the Independence Institute, and he says these latest COVID orders layer chaos over confusion. So, Steve, producer Steve, it is Monday. You have started the week over again. So how are you doing this morning?
Can't we do something about Mondays? You'd think by now we would have found a way to get around a Monday.
And what that is it will be Tuesday. So just power through. Power yes. through, Steve.
Yes, yes.
And I want to say thank you to you and the great team that we work with, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, and you, that's what it is. And each of you listeners, I want to say thank you to you. You each have a purpose today. I go out and strive for excellence and take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. And as we look at these issues, we look at them as freedom versus fear, fear versus freedom. And we see so much fear and the fomenting of so much fear out there. And I love this quote that one of my colleagues at Liberty Toastmasters shared. He said, fear knocked at the door and truth answered and there was no one there. And the other thing is we look at these issues. Rudyard Kipling, he said, I keep six honest serving men. They taught me all I knew. Their names are what and why and when and how and where and who. Those are pretty wise words as we go through this fear-mongering, trying to find the truth and clarity in this whole COVID-19 Wuhan virus reaction disruption, Steve.
Yeah, and in the terms of a three-ring circus, which is, you know, those are days gone by, which ring do you want to pay attention to? There's the COVID virus ring, and then there's the political ring. And I am just utterly amazed at what's going on, the shenanigans going on in the political realm right now.
Shenanigans is right, and there's all kinds of shenanigans. And these far-left activists that have taken over the Democrat Party and the globalists, the elitists, you can put them all together, they've been playing long ball, and they never dreamed that Donald Trump would get elected and disrupt what is going on. So they have pulled out all stops here. They're willing to take the American economy down to put forward their agenda. And as we look at, they used to talk about compassion, but it's not compassionate to take other people's rights, their property, their freedom, or their livelihood. And we used to say via force, whether with a weapon policy, unpredictable or excessive taxation or fear. But what's, you know, Tom Krannewitter has always said that backing up all of these laws, these unconstitutional laws and these ordinances and all, is the force of a gun. And we actually saw that with Jen Hewlin last week when Tri-County Health showed up. Apparently, I didn't see this, but apparently, you know, some young 20-something girls show up to serve the order that she needs to close down. But there was law enforcement backing them up. And it's a pretty terrifying time to have that happening right now. in America. So I thought I'd go to our inspiration today, Victor Hugo. And you know Victor Hugo. He was a French poet, novelist, and dramatist of the Romantic movement. During a literary career that spanned more than 60 years, he wrote abundantly an exceptional variety of genres, such as lyrics, satires, epics, philosophical poems, epigrams, novels, history, critical essays, political speeches, funeral orations, diaries, letters, public and private, and drama in verse and prose. He wrote Les Miserables and The Hunchback of Notre Dame, and he lived from 1802 to 1885. Steve, he said, it is not easy to keep silence when silence is a lie. What do you think about that?
Wow, that's pretty darn deep. That's deeper than I can go on a Monday morning. I'm sorry.
I should have waited on that one. Again, it is not easy to keep silent when silence is a lie. And on that, we will move over to something a little more humorous. Are you ready for that, Mr. Steve?
All right, we're going to hold you to that. You said humorous.
I did. The COVID-19 Wuhan virus reaction disruption has taught me that my top three hobbies are eating at restaurants, going to non-essential businesses, and touching my face. Okay, let's see. Let's go ahead and jump in here. Patty has put together amazing research. I tell you what that girl does. It is amazing to me. In the Gazette, there is a headline that says, How Colorado Avoided the Catastrophe as the Coronavirus Hit the State. It says, during the month-long statewide quarantine, the coronavirus spread slowed, deaths climbed, ventilators went unused, and unemployment exploded, which is to say it went mostly as expected. It says, as life in Colorado begins inching back towards normalcy, executives at the state's major hospitals and some El Paso County business leaders are in broad agreement that the unprecedented social distancing strategy and stay-at-home order was necessary and effective against the worst of a once-in-a-generation pandemic. And then Patty has this to say. She said, I use this article because how the media uses one lens in their comments. Of course, those who recommended and implemented the total shutdown would state that this was the right thing to do. Also, this has never been brought up. Steve, there was no control group. You know who the control group is? Is the people that are refusing to wear masks. It says people who did not have to observe this social distancing. So who can really say? Another few points. A spike should have happened. Again, Tom Goodfellow mentioned this. A spike should have happened. Remember when Governor Polis said he was going to put in this edict that he was going to shut the state down and everybody rushed to the store? We should have had a spike 7 to 14 days after that, and we did not, Steve. And, you know, everybody was in the grocery stores, the liquor stores, the pot shops, and it never happened. And we never saw a spike in cases after the rally at the Capitol. And where it was observed that most people did not have a mask or nor were social distancing. Final thought, the cases continue to rise. Of course they will, because more and more people are being tested. And so bringing some reason to that whole thing, Steve, any final thoughts on that before we get to Mark Griffith?
Well, I think I shared with you our experience Saturday. We were out in the yard working on our big project all day. Didn't feel like cooking, so we're going to go out to the local establishments in your favorite town. And sure enough, not one once, but not twice, we got shut out. Because when we showed up at their door to pick up something to take out, we weren't allowed in the door without a mask.
Did they bring it to the door? Yeah, did they bring it to the door for you?
No, they did not. So we moved on to the next place. And finally, once we got outside the boundaries of your favorite town, bingo, we had success.
Okay, that's why we need free markets, is so that people can vote with their feet and go someplace else. And that is why through like the Metro Mayor's cabal and the, caucus, forgive me, I
slipped
there. Yes, that's why they have really been there having little meetings that they're trying to get everybody to do their draconian stuff, because if everybody does it, then people don't have choices. So on that, though, speaking of choices, we have Mark Griffith on the line with us. He has a show right here on KLZ 560, 1 to 2 on Monday through Friday. Right, Mark Griffith?
Well, as far as you know, I do. I may have another show today. Just thanks for having me on. I have to say that this 6 o'clock in the morning stuff is... It's interesting. It's just, I get up. I don't usually, I listen, but I'm not alive. I listen to your show. but I'm not truly alive.
He thought there was only
Mother's Day.
He thought there was only a 6 p.m. There's a 6 a.m. too.
That's right. But Mark Griffith, you can listen again 10 to 11 p.m. But hey, you were out at this great little restaurant down in Castle Rock yesterday. What happened?
Normal life happened. It was awesome. Went down there to get myself a breakfast burrito. Mother's Day, we didn't take my mom because she's 85. So my wife stayed behind. And I went down to meet April, the proprietor there. And the place was rocking. It was just packed. And no one, there were two people that wore masks, and they were people who obviously had other health issues. But it was so much fun to just be normal.
To live life.
Yes, to see people's faces. Everyone was in a great mood. It was awesome. So I encourage you to support CNC Coffee. They're located down in Castle Rock behind the Walmart, just on the east side of the Walmart, off of Founders. But today on my show, Kim, I'm going to be having Dr. Douglas on. Dr. Douglas is the executive director of the Tri-County Health Department. And the Tri-County Health Department is the organization driving the bus on all these regulations and rules on who can, you know, be open, who can't, why the virus can spread in a small mom-and-pop shop, but it doesn't spread at Home Depot. It's the smartest virus in the world, evidently.
I'm
going to be asking him some very difficult questions that I don't think he's going to have answers for. I've been to the CDC site. There is no scientific research that supports social distancing, the wearing of masks of healthy people, all these things on today's show, the Mark Griffith Show at 1 o'clock on 560 KLZ.
You will not want to miss that. So, Mark Griffith, thank you so much.
Thank you, Kim. Have a great day.
Okay, that's 1 o'clock this afternoon. You will not want to miss that because Mark Griffith is going to ask the hard questions of Dr. John Douglas, who is the executive director of Tri-County Health. He is an unelected, unaccountable bureaucrat, and you can see how they act when that happens. So with that, I wanted to just mention something very quickly. There is a newscaster on one of the local stations who likes to tweet out different things, and he tweeted out last night, Steve. He said, thousands of restaurants in Colorado put public safety over political posturing this Mother's Day weekend. He's talking about April at CNC. He says, they won't make the news tonight, but I think a lot of people appreciate those businesses' owners' sacrifice. So, Steve, I had to reply. Do you know what I said?
No.
Okay. I said, you have no clue about sacrifice. If you indeed want to talk about sacrifice, you and your 9 news team should forego your salaries, your retirement contributions, sit home, off air, and wait until Governor Polis tells you that you can go back to work. That's how I feel about that. So, are you speechless? Or I'm going to go ahead and we're going to go to break. Before we do that, though, these restaurants, I tell you, what these cabals are doing is just amazing. But, you know, help them out. Order some food to go. And one of my favorite restaurants, a good partner of mine, is Hooters Restaurants. They have 5 Colorado locations. They're accepting to-go orders. You can place those at order.hooters.com, and they have curbside delivery, so they'll bring that out to you. You won't have to worry about the whole mask thing. Wednesday is Wings Day. You can buy 20 wings, and you get 10 for free, and they have lunch specials all day, and those are available on your to-go orders. Kids eat free all day as long as you order an adult entree. So, again, go to order.hooters.com. And let's go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking with Reggie Carr. He is the founder of I'm a Trumpster. He's back in Washington, D.C., and we'll want to hear what's going on back there. Stay tuned.
Recently, rates in the mortgage market have hit near record lows. Lorne Levy with Polygon Financial notes that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has created potential opportunities to refinance your mortgage that could save you thousands of dollars. And for those senior listeners who may be looking for another source of income, exploring a reverse mortgage with Lorne Levy may be a solution. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lorne Levy has the experience to answer your questions. Call Lorne Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup today.
A recent study finds that COVID-19 economic disruption could force half of small businesses to close within 6 months. Local small business owner Jen Hewlin, Water's Edge Winery, who pledged her home for the loan to start her business, chose to fully open her business last week. As a reasonable individual, she had agreed to a pause in her business until we could better understand COVID-19. The curve has been flattened. There are enough respirators. Effective treatments are available. But the bureaucrats at Tri-County Health said no and shut her down. Jen is fighting for her economic life. Help her with legal costs and operating expenses. Go to KimMunson.com for the link to help Jen through her crowdfunding campaign.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, KimMunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
I dreamed a dream in time gone by.
Oh. Hey, welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That's KimMunson.com. Podcast of the show can be found at KimMunson.com. Steve, you and Charlie are amazing. At the very last minute, when I finally decided who I would be quoting, Victor Hugo, who wrote Les Miserables, and I emailed you guys and said, is there any way we can get that from bumper music? Because I knew you had everything loaded in. And you two, I tell you what, you guys are something else.
I was surprised. I mean, the repertoire of music that they have, like, for all four stations here at Crawford is huge. But there was no music from Les in there. And I had to go find it. But we got it.
Oh, you guys are just awesome. But speaking of Les Mis, which is probably my all-time favorite Broadway play, in the entertainment business, intellectual property is so important. And my friend who's on the line right now, Reggie Carr, has been in the entertainment industry, successful guy for many years. Reggie Carr, welcome to the show.
Hey, what's up, Kim? And actually, Johnny and I are both. You got us both.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hey, Johnny, how are you doing? You two are founders of I'm a Trumpster. And this all precipitated from intellectual property. So, Reggie, why don't you take it first, and then, Johnny, you can jump in. So talk a little bit about, you know, why you have decided to support Donald J. Trump.
Well, long story short, we were in the recording studio, and we heard a voice saying about intellectual properties, how China was stealing a lot of our intellectual properties, and we're like, wow, that we've experienced this. You know, who is this man? You know, who is this man? And so we actually just turned down the mixing board, and we looked, and it was President Trump. At that time, candidate Donald Trump. And we're like, we got to get behind this guy, because that's exactly what's going on. China instilled everything, and intellectual property is a big part. We were getting songs, logos, trademarks, just, you know, we'd send it over there to get, you know, produced, manufactured, and would go, you know, in the front door and out the back door. And so we're like, that's what got our eye. And then all the other things that and our ear, and all the other things that President Trump stands for, what he's doing for minorities in America and Americans is awesome. So how can we not support that?
So, Johnny, you and Reggie are not the quote-unquote typical Donald Trump supporters that the mainstream media likes to say, which is, you know, the people in flyover country, and, you know, they're, you know, look a certain way. You guys are a little different than that. So explain how you got to this point with Donald Trump and starting I'm a Trumpster.
Well, first of all, we're black. And so, on top of it, we're looking at what, you know, the people are doing to try to get the minority votes, and we have a better idea on what do you have to do, what do you have to look like. And so we created the I'm a Trumpster brand, because you know, the hats are kind of different. It's what minorities wear. We know, you know, the lingo, the conversation, how you have to come. You have to excite them in different ways than the norm. So, therefore, by us being from the entertainment industry, we were just going to put a twist on the I'm a Trumpster brand and how we're going to get the message out to the minorities so Trump can bring this in and he can get the minorities to come and help him win this race. So that's why we need the people help out there to help us. That's why we in D.C. traveling all these miles because we're for real about what we're doing.
Yeah, we are in Washington, D.C. We're sitting right now in front of the White House in front of the gate. And we've spoke with some officers and let them know what we're getting ready to do. And they're saying, fine, no problem. So, you know, we're getting ready to make some noise with I'm a Trumpster. So we are definitely in D.C.
So what are you guys going to do?
Well, that's kind of I guess you go ahead. You big dog. So we'll go ahead and let you know, Kim. we got our brand. We got our banners. We got signs. We got our hats, T-shirts, everything. And we're going to come out here, and we have our masks. We're social distancing the whole nine. And we're going to get the narrative out that, you know, minorities support President Trump. And I'm a Trumpster is all about that. We're going to let them know what we're doing in Colorado. Of course, you know, we've been on your show and Randy's show, actually one that really kicked off everything for us, and we appreciate that. But there's a lot of work to do. Because we're finding out that, you know, the Democrats are really, really investing a lot of time and money in and promoting their narrative, even if it's not. And so we have to, you know, we have 63 million voters already, but that's not enough, especially if Michelle Obama gets into this race. Then, you know, then I'm telling you, our minorities, blacks, they're gonna vote because just on that narrative alone, and that's going to be dangerous. We have to get more. We have to turn black Democrats over to Republicans, to conservatives, and vote for Trump, or we're not going to win this election.
So a couple of things. I'd recommend people, first of all, go to imatrumpster.com. And these videos that you have put together, you guys have been busy. There's a whole bunch more than just the other day when I had taken a look at that. So you are your media experts. And I know that one of the things you want to do is to get a bus and you want to wrap it. You want to have media on it and take it into the ethnic communities and, you know, give the Donald Trump story. And you need $60,000 to do that. So people can help you out by going to imatrumpster.com. and contributing. And I know that you guys drove out to Washington, D.C. You guys are committed on what you're doing, and I really would recommend people help you out.
Oh, yeah, we definitely need the support and the help. We definitely are committed. So if you can go to imatrumpster.com, that's imatrumpster.com, and donate and help us. And the whole thing is we're going to document all this. We're going to have cameras with us. We're going to have so you'll see everything that we're doing. We're going to be definitely transparent. We're going to go on that bus, and we're going to go into the neighborhood that other people can't go into, and we're going to be bold, and we're going to risk our lives. We're going to risk whatever it takes because, you know what I'm saying, you have nothing to die for what you live. So at the end of the day, you see the time that we're in right now. It's not normal anymore. You have to go everywhere with masks. And we have to do something about this. So we definitely need y'all support. If you listen to us, we're here. We drove almost 2,000 miles.
And everything, Kim, has been, we pay for 99% of everything ourselves, what we do. So your show has been great. You've been great. You know, you're a real Randy, you know, Evie, you know, everybody. Those are our top teams. But everything else, you know, we need everybody else to come in and pitch in because we got to do this together. So although we're going to keep pouring money into this to do what we need to do in time, if everybody comes together, we can get this done a lot quicker. And we have to get this man back in the office, not it's not going to be a good situation for us, for minorities. So like you said, on that bus, we're going to educate. We educate through our videos. We watch them. The videos support President Trump and his narrative, and it supports conservatives, Republicans, what we're doing. So, and that's how we make it exciting and everybody get them. But we got to get this bus. And I think this is part, well, I know this is one of the reasons why we're in Washington right now. And we appreciate speaking to you as well on your show.
Oh, my gosh. So go to imatrumpster.com and contribute. And you have all these different videos. But being a kid from rural Kansas, I love the one that you did on our farmers, the heart of America. But I would highly recommend people do that. So Reggie Carr, Johnny Thomas, thank you so much. Keep me informed on what's going on. Good luck. And folks, you might just take just, you know, what you spend on a cup of coffee and donate that to I'm a Trumpster today. So, guys, keep me in the loop, and Godspeed on your travels.
Okay, I will. We will keep us in your prayers. We out here on front lines.
You are on the front lines.
You get the exclusives. You and Randy get the first everything.
I love it. I love it. So, guys, keep up the good work. We will talk to you soon, and just keep me in the loop on that.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, and on the line with me is John Buckingham, one of the great guys over at Presidential Wealth Management. You've got an amazing team over there, John Buckingham. Jason's taking the week off, and I'm so excited for the conversations that we're going to have this week. So welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Glad to be here.
So, you know, John, as we were preparing for this yesterday, we were talking, and, you know, I beat up on Elon Musk quite a bit because I don't like, you know, the billions of dollars he's gotten in federal tax money. And then we see, you know, all these different policies that are pushing forward electric cars and Tesla benefits from a whole bunch of different government programs. But something happened. This was MSN.com. And it says that Musk is threatening to exit California over the virus restrictions. What do you think about that, John Buckingham?
Well, I think that first, you know, I agree that all the subsidies that he gets, you know, it's kind of mind-boggling that a business gets that much to support or for support from the government. But give him credit. I mean, to stand up and, you know, go against the governments that are handing him the money, to support his workers, to support his business, to get it back up and running, you know, you got to give him credit for standing up and saying what he feels, because not a lot of people are willing to come out and say, you know, this is crazy. The panic is overdone. We need to look at the numbers. We need to get ourselves back to work. And he's standing up when a lot of people won't. And so you got to give him credit for that and, you know, give him a pat on the back when he does something right.
Well, that's for sure. And so he's threatened to sue the Alameda County Health Department regarding these restrictions. So I find that really interesting. So, John, have you taken a look at what does the market look like it's going to open up today? I know we're an hour out, but what's it look like?
Right now it looks like it's going to open down. I think, you know, people tried to sugarcoat the unemployment numbers last week, and I think over the weekend they started taking a look and realized that, you know, we're not in good shape. You know, the NASDAQ is positive on the year as of Friday, which makes no sense given the economic collapse that we've seen over the last month and a half. And so I think the market is extremely overvalued right here. And that is, you know, leading to a little bit of a downturn to start the week. But who knows how it's going to go, because a lot of this is all psychological moves instead of, you know, fundamentals and technicals. You know, we should be looking at where things are going, and yet the market's not. And, you know, you take a look back, you know, again, going to Musk, and I think a lot of it is the chaos of, you know, who's in charge. I mean, you've got the mayor, the city council, and the health admin all in Alameda County going against each other. No one has the same opinion, and yet everybody has the ability to shut people down. And so it's chaos, and no one knows how we're going to come through this chaos.
Yeah. So I think that there is opportunity, but it's important to have a plan. And I would highly recommend that people reach out to you and your team over there at Presidential and sit down and do a portfolio checkup during this crazy, crazy time, John Buckingham.
I think that's absolutely correct. I mean, right now, especially given the fact that the market's given us a little bit of a reprieve with this run up, it gives you almost a do-over if you haven't set something up to protect yourself in case this gets really bad.
Okay, so be sure and reach out. That phone number is 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600. And that our website together is airpresidential.com. You can reach out to John and Jason and the whole team over there. John, thank you so much. I'll look forward to talking to you tomorrow morning.
That sounds great. We'll talk to you then.
You betcha. And let's go to break. When we come back, talking about chaos, Rob Nadelson has written a very important piece, which you can find at Complete Colorado. He says the latest COVID orders layer chaos over confusion, and it adds to the risk. So let's go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking with Rob Nadelson.
Karen Levine has over 30 years in the real estate industry. The reaction to the COVID-19 Wuhan virus is presenting unprecedented and unpredictable opportunities and challenges in buying or selling your home. That is why you need to work with award-winning realtor Karen Levine. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516. Karen's expertise will help guide you through this crazy real estate market. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516 today.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
One day more, another day, another destiny. There's never a road to Calvary.
That is Les Miserables. And that's because we did our inspiration quotes, Victor Hugo, who wrote that. Thrilled to have on the line with me Rob Nadelson. You know him. He is the Senior Fellow in Constitutional Jurisprudence at the Independence Institute, and he has an important op-ed that was in Complete Colorado. And if you go to Complete Colorado and then you just click on the banner at the top, that'll take you to all their original content. And this was written on April 30th. Rob Nadelson, welcome to the show.
Well, it's thrilling to be with you, Kim.
This is an important piece. As I read the first sentence, you said over the last 50 days, Coloradans have been pelted, I love the word, pelted with 42 new or amended state coronavirus executive orders. Add to that 12 more from the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment, and then all these decrees from local governments. It is astounding, Rob Nadelson.
One thing I learned from James Clavell, the author of Shogun and other novels, is that one of the secrets of good writing is in the verbs. I love that verb, pelted, as well.
That's how
we should feel. I mean, it's the sheer volume of the orders. It's the size of them. I mean, at the time I wrote the most recent one from the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment was 32 pages long, mostly single spaced. And there's obviously no way people can work their way through this. The other thing that I point out in the article is that it would be bad enough if these orders were all really clear and consistent with each other, but they overlap and they partly contradict each other, and they've got ambiguities, and you don't know what interpretation is going to be put on them until you get picked up by the police.
Well, what about the guy that was playing football in Wash Park this last weekend? And he was cited for playing football in Wash Park, and he could get a fine of almost $1,000 for that. Rob Nadelson, have we lost our minds?
We have panicked, and that is very typical in emergencies. Unfortunately, there are precedents in American history. I mean, one that, as you know, Kim, for 25 years, I was a law professor, and one of my major gigs was constitutional law, and we would teach the case in which the Supreme Court considered the incarceration of 120,000 Americans of Japanese ancestry and upheld that incarceration as constitutional. Everyone thinks today that was an outrageous decision, but at the time, people were scared. There were Japanese submarines going up and down the West Coast. There were rumors of invasion. There was an incident on one of the Hawaiian islands in which Americans of Japanese ancestry had cooperated with a pilot returning from a Japanese pilot returning from bombing Pearl Harbor. And so people were afraid. And when people are afraid, they tend to, you know, take their experience and kind of dump it out the window. They tend to take the law and dump it out the window. What we have to do is learn from this experience.
Well, you said people are afraid. Now, certainly when we talk, and I do not agree with what happened with the internment of our Japanese citizens. But to put that in some context, there were actually submarines, as you mentioned, Japanese submarines going up and down the coast. In fact, one of the World War II veterans that I interviewed, they were in San Diego. They were stationed in San Diego, and he remembers that they were called out one night to go out and with their guns, you know, and be on the beach, and they laid on the beach because they thought that there might be a potential invasion there. And so there was a real threat. And not to say that COVID-19 is, that there's not, you know, certainly medical concerns about that. But the go ahead.
Kim, that's exactly why I brought it up. I mean, the fears in World War II of a Japanese invasion were not imaginary, and the fears of COVID-19 are not imaginary. What we have to learn to do is to deal with fear intelligently and respond intelligently to it instead of reacting in ways that we're going to regret or in ways that violate the rule of law. There have been a series of cases now that have followed the same reasoning that I've laid out in articles in Complete Colorado, and those cases in federal court have been striking down parts of official COVID-19 orders because they go too far in some cases, and they create needless exemptions in others. So, for example, there's the most recent one is out of Kentucky, and in that case, the governor had banned assemblies for church services, even with social distancing, while allowing assemblies of people in large retail establishments with social distancing. Well, if social distancing is sufficient to deal with the threat in retail establishments, then it's also sufficient to deal with the threat in church services. Those are the kinds of refinements that we have to think about and not let legitimate fears overwhelm us in a crisis like this.
But Rob Nadelson, what do you think about the fomenting of fear? And I'm starting to see some inconsistencies and maybe padding of the numbers. And for example, I two things. I actually have a letter from a very fine senior center right here in the metro area where they have explained to their community, to the families, that CDPHE, which is the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment, has come in and overridden cause of death on death certificates, which is almost going to double the number of COVID-19 deaths. And so I'm not a little concerned. I'm really, really concerned that we need to have truth in this narrative. And when you start to see people cooking the books on that, that's really concerning to me, Rob Nadelson.
Yeah, there's always a tendency by officials who overstep their bounds to find ways to justify what they did. And sometimes they want to cover the record, change the record. When we look back on this, and we realize that many of these health departments exceeded any proper constitutional boundaries, you know, they want to be able to point to inflated figures and say, well, we did this and it was absolutely necessary to keep people safe. If their numbers show that 500 people died, that looks a whole lot better for them than if the numbers show that 47 people died. Right now, there are controversies going on in some states that have very few COVID cases. As you know, I've got special connections with the state of Montana. Mm-hmm. There have been, I think, 16 deaths and just a handful of cases in a population of 1 million. And yet the governor had the entire state on lockdown. And what was really interesting is in his order, he exempted all state government employees from the order. Everybody else had to follow it, but the state government employees didn't have to follow it. That's the kind of needless or ridiculous provision that causes courts to strike down measures as unconstitutional. Or let's take, for let's go a little closer to home and look at Governor Polis's latest safer at home order, as he calls it. He purports, and the language is unclear, to ban travel to a recreation area of more than 10 miles. So if you happen to live right next to Roxborough State Park, you could engage in recreation there. But if you happen to live, let's say, in Denver County, you can't because it's too far. Well, how does it increase the risk of the COVID virus to travel 20 miles to a state park instead of 10 miles to a state park in your car? The answer is it doesn't. This is senseless response. And naturally, the people who are responsible for that senseless response are going to try to find ways to rewrite the record to protect themselves against justifiable public indignation later on.
Well, that's for sure. One other thing before we go to break, Patty and I, okay, so what we've had is we've had our elected representatives. I'm not calling them officials anymore. They're supposed to be representatives. So we've had our elected representatives go, and they hide behind this Article 25, which is a state statute, which in essence, it's my understanding, they said, well, we can't do anything about Dr. Douglas at Tri-County Health so overstepping his boundaries, because in Article 25, that took the power. The state legislature put that into place. And so it's like, well, you know what? I think I should just go read Article 25 so that I can understand it. The updated version of Article 25 is over 1,000 pages long, Rob Nadelson, 1,000 pages. When we actually have a Constitution and a Declaration of Independence that put in place the framework for a country, we have over 1,000 pages giving the power of, as we can see, closing down our economy to an unelected, unaccountable bureaucrat. 1,000 pages. Tell me how that happens, Rob Nadelson.
Well, we're seeing this throughout the country and at the federal level, too, the creation of mega statutes. I mean, Obamacare, for example, was famously, I think, 2,500 pages long and wasn't read or understood by most of the people before they passed it. That's not unusual. It's very common. And there are several reasons for it. One is a lot of legislation is the product of special interest deal making. The more deals you make, the more extensive the legislation has to be. Another reason is that legislation often comes out of the bureaucracy. The more opaque it is, the more difficult it is for an average person to understand, the more power that the bureaucrats who are familiar with it have to deal with it. Although I find it striking how ignorant the bureaucrats have proven to be in Colorado and some other states in dealing with some very simple constitutional restrictions on their authority. In addition to that, another factor that tends to make these things very long is that as the economy and as life gets more complicated and government tries to regulate more and more, you need more and more words to do that. The lesson that should be drawn by our government is that life is simply too complicated to have the government try to run it. That's why the Soviet Union broke down. You can't run a modern industrial economy from central bureaucracy. But they don't learn that lesson. The lesson they learn instead is that, well, if things are more complicated, then our statutes have to be even more complicated. So those are the kinds of factors that come into play, special interest deal making, the desire of the bureaucracy for opaqueness, and the desire to deal with complicated situations by command and control.
Wow. Hey, Rob Nadelson, let's continue the conversation. We're going to go to break.
You bet.
I have on the line with me Rob Nadelson. He is the senior fellow in constitutional jurisprudence at the Independence Institute. We are talking about his very important piece that is at Complete Colorado. It says the latest COVID orders layer chaos over confusion, which adds to the risk. We'll be right back.
Did you know Hooters wings can fly? That's right. Your favorite wings can be picked up for to-go and can even be delivered right to your doorstep. Take advantage of Hooters' delicious lunch specials, like our seaworthy Baja fish tacos, mouth-watering Western burger, or our new roasted wings. Lunch specials are available to go Monday through Friday from 11:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. Curbside service available. Place your order online at order.hooters.com. Get your wings to fly only at Hooters.
Predovich and Company understands that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has individuals and businesses scratching their heads with a variety of bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting questions. Predovich and Company knows that you need trusted professionals to help you navigate these choppy waters. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich and Company. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich and Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call Predovich and Company at 303-791-3000 to organize your personal and business finances. Call 303-791-3000 today.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. That is another song from one of my most favorite Broadway plays, Les Miserables, which was written by Victor Hugo. You're a real cultural guy, Rob Nadelson. What's your favorite play, your Broadway play?
My favorite Broadway play? Oh, gee. I'm not actually much of a Broadway guy, but if I were to choose one, it probably would be one that a cousin of mine actually played in Broadway, which was Little Abner from back in the back in the 50s. You know, Al Capp, who originated Little Abner, was the cartoon, was a great social satirist, and this particular play certainly fits that category. It's not what you would think of as culture. It's just good fun.
Well, and you know what? A little laughter is a really good thing, but not laughing a lot about what's going on here in Colorado. Let's go back to this important piece that you've written, Rob Nadelson, regarding these COVID orders are laying chaos over confusion. And you mentioned something in the piece that I thought was interesting, and you had alluded to that about not being able to go more than 10 miles to go hiking or whatever. And you said that that in essence, this may be this, I guess I'm paraphrasing, but this may be the tyrannical straw that broke the camel's back to say to Coloradans that they can't go to their beloved mountains. Do you think that's going to produce some kind of a public uprising?
I don't know. You know, public uprisings tend to arise over things that in retrospect people view as trivial. After all, consider, for example, the Boston Tea Party. I mean, Bostonians didn't get their tea, so they held civil disobedience against the British. In this instance, so this is particularly instructive. You've got the governor's order where he doesn't actually say that you can't go more than 10 miles to recreation. He says that the Department of Public Health and Environment should issue an order, and they should order that Coloradans shouldn't go more than 10 miles to recreation. Well, the order comes out from the Colorado Department, and it says, well, you should, uses the word should, it's not actually compelling, you should take your recreation within 10 miles or within your county. Of course, you live in a county like Jeffco or Arapahoe County, and that's a lot of space, you know? And so the governor orders the department to order something. The department issues something different that actually doesn't order. And so now we're in a position where we really don't know if it is illegal to travel more than 10 miles to recreation. Now, I spend a fair amount of time in the outdoors, Kim, and I won't tell you how far I've been traveling, but I will tell you that Coloradans are royally disregarding this 10-mile order, as in fact they should, because when you interfere with somebody's right to travel, you are interfering with what the Supreme Court calls a fundamental right. Any interference with it, even for a really important purpose, has to be narrowly targeted. And this 10-mile rule is not narrowly targeted. It doesn't really make any sense at all. So it's a classic example of the kind of provision that the courts regularly strike down and are beginning to be struck down by courts around the country.
Okay, now I'm trying to find this Oh, I can't find the headline. This is what's so frustrating is when you try to Google something and you think that you're going to get all the information. I just put in Boulder County, and now I'm getting is just official stuff, not the real article. But I think that I saw this weekend that Boulder County is actually fining. Oh, I know what it is. They're fining people, I think, almost $5,000 if they're on a Boulder County trail without a face mask. What do you think about that?
Well, I don't think that face masks are necessary unless you're near somebody, right?
Right.
The last time I was on a trail, there were a fair number of people there, and people, I thought, for the most part, were acting very responsibly. When it came time to pass somebody in either direction, people would get off the trail at a distance of greater than 6 feet, and they generally would put face masks on as well. Now, a few people, mostly, interestingly enough, younger women, I noticed did not follow the rule. But I was able to move 6 feet away or more away from them. But for the most part, people act responsibly. They act responsibly because they have an incentive to do so. They don't need a $5,000 fine and a jackbooted order from Boulder County to tell them to wear a face mask at every moment on a trail, including when there may be nobody around.
Okay, and this is what it says. It says it's requiring face covering starting Saturday. That's this last Saturday. I can get to this here. And it says those 12 years or older in public anywhere in Boulder County where social distancing of 6 feet cannot be maintained. And then
Very interesting. It applies to those 12 years or older. That's very interesting. Because, you know, back in the Spanish flu days, a much more serious epidemic than this one, several municipalities experimented with face mask rules. And I think that face mask rules generally are constitutional, especially in crowded areas. I don't have any legal problems with them. But they were very difficult to enforce. And in one situation, the face mask rule of Tucson, they exempted school kids, younger kids, from the face masks. And apparently a local judge struck down the measure as, my source says, class legislation. I assume what he meant by that is violated the Equal Protection Clause. So Boulder County may be repeating Tucson's mistake by exempting a lot of people in the population, that is to say younger people, from wearing the face mask, because that's what got the Tucson face mask rule struck down as unconstitutional.
Well, and we have just a couple of minutes, but on the other age spectrum, there are those that are saying that anybody over the age of 65 should be required to maybe stay in, self-quarantine. And that seems like age discrimination, because you can have a very in shape 65-year-old and a much older person with multiple health issues going on, and they don't compare. So what's your quick comment on that? We've got just a couple of minutes, Rob Nadelson.
Okay, well, very quickly, I made that point that it is age discrimination. However, under our modern constitutional jurisprudence, a state can engage in age discrimination much more readily and much more easily than you would dare to do in the private sector. And so they might very well get away with this. However, it's more evidence that the law is not narrowly tailored as required for a restriction on fundamental rights because of just what you point out. The chance of a healthy, non-challenged 65-year-old getting seriously ill or needing hospitalization is minimal compared to, let's say, an obese 82-year-old who's got lung problems. So once again, what you see here is the government coming at this with a blunt instrument. And that's okay, 99% of the time, Kim, but it's not okay when constitutional rights are involved.
Well, and to your point, you just mentioned narrow. All of the laws, I think, and ordinances, all these things that we pass should be narrow and make sure that they hit the mark on whether or not they're constitutional. So,
right.
Rob Nadelson, your final thought.
Yeah, and in fact, we did that during the Spanish flu epidemic. Instead of trying to close down the economy, we had targeted health regulations, we had some mask laws, we had social distancing, but we we responded to the epidemic intelligently, as opposed to just kind of closing down the economy and putting everybody under house arrest. I think we could learn from that.
Well, I hope we can learn from that. Rob Nadelson, thank you so much. This great conversation. Appreciate it.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Okay, and our quote for today is Victor Hugo. As you know, he wrote Les Miserables. He said, "For there are many great deeds done in the small struggles of life." Again, "For there are many great deeds done in the small struggles of life." So today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America.
Fast on a rough road, riding high through the mountains, climbing, twisting, turning further from my home. Young like a new moon, rising fierce through the rain and lightning, wandering out into this great unknown. And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them.